Hello and welcome to episode number 85 of the WP Cafe Show with Mark Wilkinson and me, Keith Devon, here to talk about all things WordPress development and WordPress businessy type stuff. On the show today, we've got a few kind of headline topics to cover, including hosting issues and like what actually is managed hosting. We're going to be talking about building products or services or businesses on top of other platforms and the kind of vulnerabilities that can cause. We're going to talk about trying to log PHP backtrace data information. Little update on how our advertising for RecPress has been going. And we'll do the ever popular what Mark has been reading and watching. I've thrown one thing in for this week, but Mark has a few interesting articles, videos, etc. to share with you all today. Before we get started, Mark, how has your week been? How are you doing? It's been a couple of weeks, actually, since we did a show. So,
yeah, it's been a few weeks, isn't it? We didn't do one last week or the week before, was it? I think we've had some holidays and a bit of sort of stuff going on, and just it's the Easter holidays, so the kids are around and it gets a little bit more chaotic. So it's been an interesting few weeks. Very busy last week, and this week's been just normal stuff, really. Yeah. Cracking on with this and that. Nothing particularly exciting to report, I'm afraid. A bit boring. What about you?
A bit of holiday. So I was in France for 5 days, which was really nice to see my dad out there. So we got a bit of sunshine and just lovely to be out there. Really, really relaxing little trip, really nice. And away from the thing I like about going to dad's house is his internet's rubbish, so he doesn't have Wi-Fi, so they do everything off their phones, and the connection for that isn't brilliant. So he doesn't have a TV. There's no TV in the house.
Wow.
So it was a really nice little digital break for us and for my daughter. Took a day or two to adjust to it, but in the end I think we were all feeling very refreshed, and it was good. It was really good.
Cool. That's good.
Yeah.
A few people saying hello in the chat. Thank you, Nick, Paul, Ian, Ross. If you are also watching along, let us know who you are and where you're listening from. It's always nice. If you've got any questions about what we are discussing, then feel free to drop them in the chat if you're listening live, and we will hopefully get on to them. So first topic, hosting. And I've got here the question, what is managed hosting? So it probably makes sense to, tell a little story about what this actually comes, why this does actually come across. So we have a client, long-standing client now, we've been working with for three years. Built a suite of sites with them using multi-sites, and they are hosted on one of the more popular sort of managed WordPress platforms. And I don't know, we've all been a bit disappointed with the sort of level of help that we've got from them. And we're fully aware they can't help with everything. They can't help with development tasks and things like that. But sites going down and things like that, and we would have expected a little bit more sort of help from them. So I suppose it begs the question, they offer a managed hosting service. What actually is meant by a managed hosting service? Let us know in the comments, what do you think is meant by a managed hosting service? What actually are they managing for you? That makes an interesting question. I'm not sure the answer anymore. I don't know. I think what I thought the managing was they were managing the servers. And managing,
which they are.
Well, how? Well, I suppose what are they doing? Keeping them going, or what's the managing bit about?
Just like dealing with all the server infrastructure. Like that's a side of this job that I'm really not good on. So I struggled to even talk about it, to use the right language. But they are their servers, and presumably it's their job to keep them up and keep them running and keep them updated with the latest tech, etc. So I guess they're kind of managing it in that sense.
Server security updates and
Keeping
PHP software versions and keeping all that up to date and so on. Yeah, okay, that's fair enough. So yeah. I think like the reason why we recommended one of these popular companies to that to our client was because, and we openly say this to any clients, like we don't do hosting. We're not server people. We don't know, understand, or how servers work. So you need someone that does. And it makes sense to me that a managed host is what you go for. They can manage the servers for you. They can be the person that is the server management person or people. And I think sometimes the standard of what we'd expect from that has been a bit poor in terms of trying to investigate some of the issues we've had. It probably isn't the development, probably isn't the code. It's something to do with the hosting environment that's there, I think. And we've had a number of times where that is been the case once it's been investigated. And then they fixed it, which I suppose is a good thing.
I think it's probably worth going into some of the things that we haven't been happy with and maybe to discuss whether that is a reasonable expectation of the service provided. I think for me, the reason it's been unsatisfactory is the amount of money the client is spending.
Yeah.
Like we're not talking about $99 a month here.
No.
We're not talking about $200 a month here. It's orders of magnitude larger than that. And we were given all the sales guff. This is going to be like a white glove onboarding experience, and we're always here for you, and we'll be guiding you through everything, and we'll help you set everything up. We're the experts. We'll take care of you. You're going to be like a priority customer because you're spending whatever. So our client is like moved up the tiers, thinking they're getting this world class service, and I haven't seen any evidence that the service that we're getting is any better than if they had been paying $50 a month, $100 a month. So maybe it's interesting, Mark, that you decided not to name and shame who we're talking about. I'll honor that, but so we can move forward just being a bit generic, and that's fine. Maybe worth talking about some of the areas that we've struggled with and maybe what we would have expected.
So the biggest thing with this client is the downtime. So I don't know what the period of downtime is. Once a month, I would imagine. We seem to get a period of downtime. And I think it's not good, but I can accept that in a way. It's the sort of the attitude afterwards that is less so. Why did it go down? There doesn't really seem to be any appetite for finding out what the cause was. And granted, the cause might not be the host, but I would expect, maybe wrongly, but the host to be able to offer some suggestions as to what actually caused the problem. It's this particular thing that's running, and then we can work out what's causing that to run, or that sort of thing. But we don't really seem to be able to get any sort of reasonable explanations to what's happened, and any sort of advice and any help to push us in the right direction. We don't mind helping out, of course, if it's stuff that we need to do on the sort of like the code side of things. But I do think you need a little bit of a push in the right direction sometimes to find out what these things are from the server, from the managed part of it, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So that's the main one. And it's kind of like there also isn't any sort of proactive warnings about downtime. My site's dead and I don't even know about it. We know about it because we've got some uptime robot stuff going on the site, but I've had other hosts, other managed hosts, which send you an email. Oh, it seems to be getting a 500 error on this page, and then you can investigate it.
Yeah.
I would have thought that would be part of a managed solution as well. Yeah. So those are the big issues. We've had issues with WordPress crons not running. And again, issues with people telling me that the cron doesn't run on isn't a WordPress cron, it runs on the server, and then that doesn't seem to be the case. And then it's, oh yeah, well, we thought that was the case. We'll turn that on for you. It doesn't solve the problem. And then all of a sudden it just works. Mm-hmm. And no one seems to know why, which is a bit of a shame. And then the final one, which I actually accept is probably nothing to do with the server, is a permalink issue whereby all of a sudden one of our custom post types just stops, all the permalinks just stop working.
Yeah.
Simple, go in, resave them, works. You know, that's been a bit of a problem. I do suspect that's something to do with something in the code base, changing something. It runs WPML. It's quite a complicated setup. I suspect, because WPML does a lot of rewrites and stuff, I suspect there's some conflict going on there. We need to investigate that further, which is becoming a little tricky and kind of comes on to one of the topics that we've got in the next bit. So those are some of the issues we've had. And just some of the sort of support is more, it feels like when they reply, they're trying to get rid of you, not fix your problem.
Yeah, they're not that interested. And most of the fixes so far has been, do you want us to turn it on or off and on again?
Yeah.
And for me, it's like, what if I say no? Like, it has fixed it before. It's just like, I'm not going to say no. Like, the sites are down. I don't know why. If there's a way to get them back up, then yeah, do it. And why have you not done this already is kind of my question. Like you said, we're not getting emails to say the site's down. Yeah. There was an incident a few weeks ago. It was a Sunday morning. I just happened to be, you know, sitting in bed, pulled the laptop out, happened to see an email from Uptime Robot, or, you know, saying sites are down. The whole network is down. Luckily, you know, I get in touch with them. I nearly said who it was. I get in touch with them and say the sites are down. They're like, oh, are they? Okay, let's have a look. Oh yeah, I can see the sites are down. Right. Do you want me to restart the server? Yes. Like,
I don't know if I want you to restart the server.
Well, I don't know. Yeah, you need to help me out with that. But B, yeah. They need to be back online. So please do something. And why were we not told about this by you? And why have you not fixed it before we even knew it was a problem? I don't know. For the amount of money, for me, it's for the amount of money that our client is spending. I just feel the service is really poor. Really poor. I don't even think it's like good value at $100 a month compared to other options. And the infrastructure seems to cause other problems. Like, you know, we've had problems setting up staging environments, you know, multi-site's a bit of a faff, all this kind of stuff. So yeah, overall not impressed, but like the overall question, what is managed hosting? I just think that's, I don't know. I guess spin up WP with DigitalOcean is not managed hosting. So
no, because you've got to manage it. Yeah, you've got to manage it yourself. I suppose there is an element of it being managed. Like, spin up software is managing stuff for you, but I think it's not fully, like, you are ultimately responsible. But then,
yeah,
that's the case with this hosting. So I'm not quite sure. I'm beginning to think it's just a marketing term that you can ignore, basically. It just sounds good.
Yeah. We might have to do another episode on finding a better host. But
interesting. Like, what? Anyone's thoughts? We've got some comments coming in, which is nice see. But it's just been a bit of a frustrating few weeks. You know,
it has been. I'm just going to run through some of the comments. First of all, there were a few more hellos. So hello to Jackson, Nicholas, Craig, Elliot's in here as well. Elliot says, managed is managing the hardware and software and provide a level of technical support. Yeah. That's fair enough. He says, what you install on the server isn't necessarily their responsibility. That's fair enough. You install specialist software, you need to take responsibility for that. Really important to read the contract.
That is true, but in this case, we've installed WordPress, essentially. Mm. Like, we've not any specialist software. We've got custom development going on, but...
That's a thing. I mean, I would say that is... That's tricky. Hello to Mark Howells Mead. Sam's in there as well. He says, no excuses for common downtime, really. Sounds like you need to move on. Do you use this provider for other clients? Like we said, we don't actually provide hosting. No. So some of our clients use this provider. I think they're the only ones. Are they the only ones?
They might be the only ones. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Elliot says you can request installation of things like New Relic, that was suggested, where you can watch and monitor the logs to see where there might be leaks. Again, but again, I feel like that's kind of outside of our comfort. Maybe that is the answer, and maybe we need to brush up on this stuff, but that's kind of what I wanted them to do.
But I think it's like, would you like us to install New Relic and then we can do this and so on? It's like, I don't know, because I don't, like, you tell me, is that if that's the tool we need to fix the problem, then go. You know, I don't know about the pros and cons of this tool. I don't know.
I've never used it.
Never used it. Don't know what it is. You need to advise. You know, you're the managed host. That's what I expect them to do, I think. Maybe wrongly, but that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. That's interesting stuff. So that does sort of lead us on to the logging, the errors. Do you want to cover that next, Mark? The backtrace PHP functions?
So we've tracked an error down to the fact that Keith actually tracked this down, nothing to do with me, actually. He wrote a lovely piece of logging tool that basically every time this custom post types structure sort of threw a 404, it kind of triggered some stuff to happen in WordPress. I think you made it so that if there was 10 404s on a custom post type, just because you might catch one, you know, people hit the wrong URL, it would then flush the rewrite rule. So it basically pressed the save permalinks button for you. But before it did that, it logged a load of stuff and then emailed our support email with all these logs. And from the log, I can see that there is no rewrite rule for the custom post type. So when it does its matching bit, it doesn't match anything. So it 404s because it doesn't know what to load. So I was trying to think of a way, well, how something's obviously changing the rewrite rules on removing the custom post types rewrite rules, but it presumably is not doing it in the correct sort of way because it's not if it's changing the rewrite rules, it's not rebuilding them properly when it's done it, because otherwise it would rebuild the custom post type ones as well. So I was wondering if there's a way of monitoring that option in the database to say, look, when this changes, can we do some sort of log as to what has changed it? And I was playing about this morning with little success. I've managed to get it to log like which function would change something, but I couldn't get it to log like the fact that it was do action. I'm like, I need it to log everything that runs in do action so I can pinpoint down which particular plugin or theme or core bit that's actually doing this thing. Anyone ever done that? It's similar. I basically want, like, when you have a PHP error, you get a stack trace in the debug log, don't you, that says, you know, this was called here and called there, and this function was called here and this function was called. And then you get to sort of like where it's gone wrong. I kind of need that, but not for an error. Maybe someone knows the answer, but I had a play around this one. I didn't get very far. So that was that. And that was to try and fix this issue with the hosting that we get, which, as I said, I do think that is something to do with the code. I don't think that is a server thing at all.
Couple of notes in the chat there. Ian is asking, how are we registering the custom post type?
The custom post type is WP Job Manager, I think.
Yep.
So it'll be how it's registering it. I assume it's an automatic plugin. So I imagine it's in the standard register post type and in the standard way.
Yeah. And Elliot says install query monitor. So I don't know how that exactly fixes. Expand on that for us, Elliot. So yeah, it'd be really cool if we could get that working, because I think that would potentially give us the answer. If we can figure out what is changing our rewrite rules and not rebuilding it correctly, it'd be really interesting. My suspicion is WPML.
Mine is as well,
because there are other rewrite issues occasionally. And obviously WPML is doing a lot of rewrite rules work around all the translation stuff. So yeah. It's just been really surprisingly hard to get to the bottom of. I thought we might have cracked this one by now, but hopefully we'll get there.
Yeah. If anyone's got any, done anything similar, it would be great to shed some light, I think, because it's one of these topics, one of these little things that we've never got to the bottom of. And the solution at the moment is just to sort of like automate the pressing of the recreate the permalinks page, which works, but obviously is down for a period, so it's not great.
Yeah, exactly. Elliot's just saying query monitor will allow you to inspect everything you load, which function fires, what plugins are active on pages, etc. So yeah, that's true, but we need to log this information when something happens that we haven't done. That's like, because we don't know what is triggering it. So it's not like it just breaks on a page load and we can load a page and it's broken and we can inspect it. Something is happening. We think probably automatically. I don't know if it's on a cron or if it's on a update process or what. Something's happening and we don't know when. That's when we need to log that information.
I think query monitor would enable me to work out that the rewrite rule is not there. But yes. I know that I need to know why that's not there and what is changing that to make it not there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's the difference. We'll get there eventually.
Yeah, it'll be interesting when we do. Moving on.
Report back.
We will. Moving on to, I guess this was kind of going to be our headline topic, really, is products dependent on platforms. We had an interesting email this week. From a client of ours who had previously requested that, they hadn't requested that things auto-post to LinkedIn. No. They use a add-on for our Job Relay product that essentially automatically creates social sharing images for their jobs. So they're a recruitment agency. They write their jobs on a separate bit of software. They use Job Relay to post those jobs to their WordPress website. When it hits the WordPress website, we automatically create a beautiful little OG image, social sharing image, so that whenever you share that job on LinkedIn, it has a lovely branded image with the job title, the salary, you know, all this lovely stuff. And we had an email from her saying, I don't know if you've seen this. And she sent us over to an article that basically says that LinkedIn are changing the way that they handle OG images so that only sponsored posts will have the full image preview and normal posts will have a little tiny thumbnail. So it was a bit of a crappy moment for us because, you know, a lot of the work that we've done, like marketing and stuff that we've done and building this product was so that recruiters could do this thing that LinkedIn is now just like pulled the rug out from under us. It doesn't mean it's completely useless by any stretch, but the attractiveness of it to our clients is going to be seriously reduced, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be lost because the image is so small now, isn't it? That, and this isn't happening. It is happening now, but it's one of these things that LinkedIn are rolling out, so you might not see it for weeks or whatever. They're just gradually rolling this change out. So I noticed that when I still shared a link, it still did the full picture and everything. But we got some examples from the client who'd obviously had the consultants do this, and it was working for them. So the image is so small. I think we'll still be able to do something with the image. Maybe it's leaving the job title off, because actually the post, you know, the page title that you're sharing is shown in larger letters now right next to it. Maybe it's just something a bit more generic and branded rather than having that sort of detailed information included in the image, but something we need to have a look at and find out the exact sizes and things and have a play with. But just goes to show that there are loads of benefits to building products on top of other products. I saw a tweet, I think it was it from Chris Lima, I think it was, who was saying like one of the best ways to market a product is to build it on top of another product and then they'll market it for you.
Yes.
So not quite what this one does, like LinkedIn aren't going to market it for us, but there are benefits to obviously not doing that. But this is one of the downsides, you know, the actual product changes it something and it could mean that your product has to either significantly change with it or it is no longer relevant. And it was a bit of a, I don't know, it's a bit of a depressing email to receive. Like, oh.
Yeah. And this is the case, I guess, of so many potential businesses and products that are built on top of things. Like, think of all of the Twitter API based businesses that it used to be, you know.
Yeah.
The tweet decks and tweet bots and whatever else of the world, and one day Twitter just changed the terms and conditions of their API and boom, like multi-million pound businesses die overnight. And you know, we are reliant, you know, our Job Relay product is reliant on our partners, and on WordPress, you know, like I don't think WordPress, especially because it's open source, you know, it's not just going to disappear overnight. But you know, the tech could change, that we're integrating with. Our partners could be like, nah, we don't need you anymore, we're going to do this ourselves, or whatever. So it's always a bit risky. I think it's hard to get away from that entirely in business. Like, I don't know. But
we've seen that with WordPress, haven't we? Changing with the full site editing and the block editor, and the technologies that have been used to build websites have all changed. So, you know, that's impacted a lot of agencies like ourselves and the way in which we build websites.
Yeah.
Not, as the case may be for us in the last few months. You know,
I wonder how much current WordPress innovation is kind of stifled because the thing, if I build this really cool thing, it's just going to be gobbled up by Automattic or by WordPress core. Like, it must be, if you've got a really good idea for improving the core WordPress experience, like, and you actually want to, you put some time into it, but you can't put that time in for free. I don't know. Like, how do you go about doing that? Like,
but that's WordPress, isn't it?
I want to be the guy who brings responsive controls to the block editor, for example. And I've got this brilliant idea of how to execute it. And yeah, I could make this amazing plugin, and I'm going to charge $20 a year for it, and I could see it being really successful. But like, why would I do that when it's probably coming down the line anyway? I don't know. I just feel like there's a kind of resistance there for me anyway, of building like certain WordPress products that are so good and so generic that they're going to become free eventually. Like, it's all going to be like just rolled in and become a utility rather than a business going forward. So you've got to be careful of that kind of stuff too. I don't want to kind of stifle innovation in the ecosystem, but you've got to be very privileged to be able to do this stuff for free, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Ian says here, we all work with the WordPress ecosystem, which has the same risk. And then he says, for example, if you build a product on WP and then WP integrates your product's features, which is exactly the one you just mentioned there, Keith, then obviously that's a problem. And he also says, building WooCommerce extensions means you're two levels deep into that risk. So you're reliant on WooCommerce, and also WooCommerce is then reliant on WordPress. I think you're right. Obviously, you're right. But I think, you know, WooCommerce is a big enough product to probably build a product off.
It is. But like, so think of companies like Barn2. So they are WooCommerce plugin developers, right? And I'd say, like, they've got this extension that they've built, and it serves a need, and it's massively popular because 50% of people that use WooCommerce that want this feature. Yeah. Eventually, WooCommerce is going to be like, this should really just be part of the product. Are they not? Like, I'd be like, are those kind of conversations going on? It's like, we really want to bring this feature into the core product, but there's this successful add-on out there that does it, and we'd completely decimate their business if we did it. Is that where acquisitions come in? Like, is there a level of honor among the kind of community that it's like, you've built this thing, we want that thing, we could do it ourselves, but we'll just pay you a decent amount of money for it? I don't know what kind of conversations like that go on at Automattic especially, obviously, but yeah,
WooCommerce is a bit really different. So obviously, WooCommerce is owned by someone, so they, in theory, they could buy something off someone else. But like, that code, you know, that code from Barn2, I'm using Barn2 as an example, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, they've got a plugin. What would be stopping Automattic just buying the plugin, and then they've got all the code? So they don't need to buy it. They just buy a copy of the plugin, and then they've got all the code. That's open source. There's nothing wrong with it. So
that's what I mean.
They don't need to buy it off them, if that makes sense.
No, they don't.
So in which case, you know, maybe we're just flawed fundamentally by using WordPress, because it can all just be stolen and used. And stolen is the wrong word, because you're not stealing it. It's open source, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just an interesting thing just to think about, you know, when you're building things, you're perhaps more dependent on other things than you think. And this just kind of raised it to the forefront of our minds, I think, when this happened. You know, it's not the end of the world for us, don't get me wrong, but it's something to think about. We don't have we don't have a massive amount of people using that particular add-on. So it's not like, oh my God, we've got 250 people using this and it's going to change. It's not the case at all, but just make you think about it.
We might have put a lot more effort into that and it might have taken off and it might that might have been a mega revenue chunk just about to fall off a cliff. So it would have been scary.
Yeah.
But I guess that's why you diversify a little bit as well, you know.
Yeah. Put your eggs in different baskets rather than the same one. Yeah, that's the term. Moving on. advertising results is on the list. So Keith has been doing lots of work on advertising, I think Google Ads, essentially, isn't it, for RecPress. So what's happened?
Well, let me just count up the numbers here.
Take a while.
I think from what I can see on, I don't know if this is right. I think it is. I'm looking at our Google Ads dashboard. So we have spent, I think, across both campaigns. So the campaigns being the PMAX campaign, which was the original one.
And the PMAX is one is kind of the AI thing, which you just chuck everything at Google and it starts testing and things like that. Yeah.
Yeah, fire a load of assets at it, titles, short titles, long titles, descriptions, images, video, and it just like mashes them all together in various ways across the whole kind of suite of possible places that Google can show an advert.
Yep.
We got basically zero results from that. I think we had two form submissions. One of them was complete, but one of them was someone looking for a job, not looking to buy our product. And the other person, I think, canceled and then never rebooked. So we thought, okay, well, looks like that's not going to be particularly successful. And the main reason for that was because it seemed that Google thought that we were advertising WordPress jobs, not advertising a WordPress job board service. So we're like, I can't, and I couldn't, PMAX didn't give us enough fine-grained control to get away from that. Like I was trying to give Google as many hints as I could, as it's a job board, but it's a job board service, not an actual job board. And it just wasn't getting it. I could tell by who we were competing against that it thought we were a job board for WordPress jobs.
Okay.
So we sacked that off and then we tried just a very traditional keyword search campaign. So going up against things like WP Job Manager, because it's kind of sort of a, not competitor, because we actually use it in the product currently. But basically people that might be looking to add a job board on their website might be looking for things like WP Job Manager or WordPress job board plugin. So there's a handful, I kept it quite narrow. It's a handful of search terms, did some copy. So basically when you search for that thing, it comes up at the top of the search results as a paid result. And I think between the two campaigns, we spent, I don't know, like 1,200 quid. Was it more than that, do you think? Yeah, I thought it was as well. Yeah, okay. Yeah, we're aware. Okay, so I'm getting different numbers in front of me right now, but I'm tending towards you being right there. So about £2,000. I think we spent
just under, I think, but
across the two campaigns and not a single sale.
I only see that because I do the accounting, so I see the payments come out of the account. I'm pretty sure there's been, I'm just counting up in my head, and it's more than that. It's just under £2,000, I think.
Yeah. So not a single call, never mind not a single sale. So pretty demoralized by it all. And scrambling to try to learn something from it, like where did it go wrong? Because we find this product very easy to sell to Job Relay customers or Job Relay prospects, you know, people that we have on a call like this. Mark, you'll be talking to them about Job Relay. You'll ask them if they have a job board. They'll either say no, in which case easy sell, or yes, but it's a bit rubbish, in which case easy sell. So, you know, we sell a good number of these per call. So I don't think there's a problem with like the product market fit because we're selling it. It's not like we're not selling it when we get the opportunity to sell it. So,
so it definitely then solves the problem. There is, you know,
and people are willing to pay the price. So
exactly, it's not the price. I don't think it's the product, as I said, because when you pitch it to someone who you know this product will help, and you explain what it is, then they seem fine with it. And pretty much everyone we've installed, it seems they've kept going with it. They seem happy with it. So, you know,
yeah. So I think it's a good product at a good price that, you know, serves the need. So where has it gone wrong? Are the ads reaching the wrong people? Was the landing page not good enough? I mean, I don't think the landing page was a 5-star landing page. You know, it probably could have been optimized, you know, and we could have improved it by like 50%, but at the current rate, we need to improve it by infinite percent. You know, there's just, we've gone from zero, like we've got nothing.
It's a landing page. I thought it was good. I mean, I could give some pointers as to what I thought. I'm no expert, but I generally just thought that's pretty good. You know, just ticks all the boxes that you seem to think you should do. Not a lot happening. So US friends that might be watching, it's about $2,500 is the number we're looking at. But so where do we go from here? What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, we said we put about £5,000 worth of kind of budget behind this in our heads.
Yeah.
But we also said that, like, if we weren't getting anywhere, we'd pull the plug earlier than that. And we're not getting anywhere. Like, if we'd had 10 calls and one sale, I'd be like, there's something to work with there.
I agree.
Literally nothing to work with. Like, there's not even a hint of a promise of a better future. It's just tumbleweed. So,
it's
disheartening. I was really hoping this would be a bit of a game changer for our company, and it's back to the drawing board. So,
well, that's where we'll have to go back to the drawing board, come up with some different ideas. Maybe digital advertising isn't the right thing. Maybe it needs a different approach to try and get the product in front of the right people and, you know, tell them what it is about and so forth. We'll see.
Yeah, maybe we need to get on some podcasts in the recruitment space or sponsor some That's podcasts in the recruitment space, or who knows?
Suggestions welcome.
Yeah, suggestions welcome. Give you a 10% cut of that. No, I won't. That's retract.
So anyway, there's the advertising results. Again, we'll I'm sure we'll carry on trying, so we'll perhaps put that into future episodes as to anything else we try and do, and you can tell us why it doesn't work. But there you go. So we've done a massive 37 minutes, which is amazing. We've got the last section is just the stuff that I usually have, that like stuff that I have been reading, watching, taking note of in the week of WordPress, or what it happens to be the 3 weeks of WordPress, because we haven't been on air for 2 weeks and then we've got today. So the first thing I had was that it was an interesting, and the links to these, by the way, should be in the description below. Keith's one might not be, because he might not have put it in because he added it afterwards, but I'll let him come on to that one. And there was these sharing images for plugins, and I thought this was an interesting idea. So back to our sharing images that we were talking about a minute ago. And this was a track ticket on WordPress that someone was suggesting, wouldn't it be good if someone shares a WordPress.org plugin that you get a nice social sharing open graph image generated? And the example that was used was like when you share a GitHub repo, it kind of takes the title of the repo, it takes the author's avatar, it takes some data about it, and just gives you this nice sharing image. And there was some discussion on that ticket about, you know, how could we do this? What information could we include, etc. I just thought it was a really interesting idea. And then that got me thinking, like, you know, why isn't that there for like all posts in WordPress? Wouldn't that be really cool if you could automatically generate one, make it extensible so people could change the design? Got the ideas flowing anyway. But it was an interesting track ticket, so have a look at it if you're interested in that sort of stuff. My next one was Tim Nash did a video about a security, sort of a fictitious security problem. I thought it was a really well-presented video. He tells a story in it about, you know, I can't remember what the guy was called. He used this fictitious guy, but I'm going to call him Bob. You know, Bob did this, and then Bob did this, and the hosting company did it. And it's quite cool. It's quite funny, and it really does get you thinking. So I enjoyed that. If you want to watch that, it's, again, linked to below. And then my final one is, I don't know when this was delivered in my inbox, but it's the What's New for Developers in April 2024 version. I think it's Justin Tadlock who writes it. Let me just click on it and just
check
what it is. Yeah. Really good little summary of stuff that's coming or stuff that's there or in sort of experimental mode. They presumably do one every month. I keep seeing them in my inbox. So it's worth reading those, definitely. The one that caught my eye was the first one on the list, which is the interactive grid layouts, which we saw. I don't know when we saw this first. It's kind of like CSS grid, isn't it? Layouts, which I think we've discussed before, but that was an interesting one on there. And then there's loads of other stuff on there as well. So do have a look at that if you haven't at least glanced over what's available. That's what I tend to do. And then just dig into the ones that I think, oh, that looks a bit interesting. But the link is in the description. And then I think you had one more, Keith.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I don't read or watch as much as you, but I certainly forget to write them down. So I need to get better at this.
You must read more than me. Everyone reads more than me.
But no, one video that kind of caught my eye, I must admit to having it kind of on in the background while I was doing other stuff, so I didn't catch every single word. But it was Matt Medeiros on the WP Minute YouTube channel. And he was interviewing a guy called Sam Harrison, which I don't know if I've come across before. But the title of this is WordPress versus Webflow with Sam Harrison. So Sam is a Webflow guy. I don't know if he used to be WordPress. I can't remember if he says that. And they basically end up, Matt has a diagram on his page, and he has WordPress on one side and Webflow on the other. And he has a bunch of cards, and he's just like positioning them between the two, like what's WordPress better for, what's Webflow better for. So just as an example, I've got it in front of me. Pricing is on the WordPress side. It's free, isn't it? You know, to get going. Design is on the Webflow side. Security is on the Webflow side. Those are the only two actually that are heavily on the Webflow side, which is interesting. Heavily on the WordPress side, we've got pricing, client access, plugins and integrations. And then kind of down the middle, leaning mostly WordPress, is using it as a business, the community, content. So I think that's like content editing. Support is slightly Webflow-y. Development, e-commerce, accessibility, slightly WordPress side. So they go through each of these points and just discuss the pros and cons of each platform. Matt's the one with the dragging things around. So he's a WordPress guy. So he's obviously like, there's a bit of banter between them, but he's, you know, tends to lean on the WordPress side. Sam's like, come on, move it over that way a bit. So it's good. It's a good video.
I thought you were going to say that it was all going to be Webflow. I thought you were going to say the end result was like everything was on Webflow, but no.
No. I mean, and I think Sam's very much a realist in the sense that like Webflow is good for what Webflow is good at. WordPress is good for what WordPress is good at. But he, for the kind of sites that he builds these days, which I think are kind of brochure type sites, so your marketing sites, which is, you know, probably 90% of the websites that website professionals build, Webflow does a pretty good job of that.
So I wonder, this is probably going off tangent, I wonder why it's better for those, because isn't that what full site editing and the block editor was supposed to be doing, was to be
making, but it's not good enough
brochure site. So I've not used Webflow, so I don't know the answer to this, but I wonder what Webflow does better than WordPress then to make those brochure sites easy to use. We touched on this
I don't know if easy a few to weeks use ago. I don't know if easy to use is what it gives you. I think it as a design-minded person, it lets you create the designs you have in your head much more easily. I don't think it's as good a content experience by the looks of it, like a content editing experience or management. So content definitely sits on the WordPress side in this graph. But like just creating interesting designs, I think is where things like Webflow and maybe Framer and platforms like that shine.
Cool.
I think it's always good to just take a little peek outside the WordPress bubble every now and then.
I ask because I know when you were building your friend's drone site, you kind of had an experience of what it's like for someone just trying to build a brochure site, wasn't that's what it was, with the tools that WordPress provides. And I know you both, he and you, were quite frustrated with the experience. So there's obviously some things WordPress must improve on if it's going to try and compete with these other tools that want to, if WordPress wants to fill that space, I suppose that's the other caveat there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, let's wrap it up. We've nearly done 45 minutes, super long. Thank you for sticking with us. We had a kind of peak 21 viewers at one point there on YouTube, I think, which is really nice. Lots of great comments today. So thank you for getting involved in the comments today, folks. If you do want more content like this, please do consider subscribing to the channel here on YouTube or to the podcast WP Cafe on your favorite podcast player. If you don't want to do that, just give us a little like if you're watching along on YouTube. We always really, really appreciate that. Or share this on your socials. Helps to support the channel. Yeah, that's all we ask for, really. And it's lovely to have you all along. And see you next week.
Yep. Thanks for joining us. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.